the Honorable Congressman Kendrick Meek.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I'm so glad to be here this morning. And John, that was an outstanding opening. I was sharing with Mr. Podesta and along with some others in the back that I'm more excited about being here as a participant than speaking, and especially being a person of government, and I would hope a person of goodwill and the common good. Right now, for all of us to be here this morning and have an opportunity to talk about the common good and the Center for American Progress, of the work that they have been doing for a very long time now, I feel very comfortable as a progressive having a home or a think tank here in Washington, D.C. to give lift to this whole concept that we talk about, the common good. The work that the center is doing, I think, is very outstanding and very appropriate for this time and this place that we are as it relates to the world and some of the discourse that's taking place. The Congressional Black Caucus Foundation was mentioned during my introduction, and I asked our interim president, Dr. Elsie Scott, to join us here today as we start to enter into an area of promoting the common good from not only the private sector, the philanthropic community, but also from the government end. As we see now, there's a great debate that's going on in battle throughout the country on behalf of the common good. When we look at Democrats, Republicans, Independents, even the survey that was taken earlier this year as it relates to how Americans feel about the common good, we all have common ground in that area. I was speaking a little earlier this morning about the fact that we talk about bipartisanship that is kind of seen as the common good and something that we should naturally do, is only allowed by those that are in power, need to be the majority or need to be someone in the private sector that has the power to do something and can do it if he or she would like to do so, but takes the opportunity to yield and say, maybe I need to hear the minority view. Maybe I need to be a little bit more open to allow this kind of discussion and work to take place so that we can end up on this island of common good. I used to work for the late governor, Lawton Chiles, and he had this program called the Fair Share in the state of Florida. In the state of Florida, we have low taxes for those that are very wealthy, that are looking to come to Florida and save their money. And we have, on the other side of the spectrum, those that are without health insurance, children that are without health insurance, some of the most overcrowded schools in the whole country, some of the most underpaid teachers in the country, and an environment that needed help desperately. And he was talking about the fair share, and in his speech he used to say that either we're going to be the fastest growing crowd in America or we're going to be the fastest growing community. And his definition was a community or a group of people who want to live next to each other, care about one another, and care about the overall common good of our state. A crowd is a group of people who don't necessarily want to be next to one another, want to move into a walled-in community or behind some gate, and really only cares about one another. And I think that when we look at this common good and we look at the approach and we look at where we are, not only as a country, but also as a community, we have to pause and step back and at least have this discussion and then implementation of this philosophy of the common good. It's a very natural thing for us as Americans because we do care about one another. We, for instance, take Katrina. The common good did prevail when it came down to individuals. The Red Cross received more donations than they've ever received, even after the tsunami, what was record-breaking of Americans giving their personal finances. But the common good did not prevail as it relates to the response of government, need it be the local or the state or the federal government. And so that's a perfect example of things that should have naturally taken place in the public sector and in some areas of the private sector. We did have some breakthroughs in government and private sector, but not at the level where we needed it to break through on behalf of these very poor people that were in need. As we look at the concepts of common good, and we look at faith, and we look at responsibility, and we look at those that are in power, and I say those that are in power, I'm not just defining that as a creature of government here in Washington, D.C., but I also look at those that are in the private sector and those that are in our faith community. We have a real responsibility to carry out goodwill. We have the responsibility as individuals to carry out this random act of kindness and this random act these days, especially here in Washington, D.C., making sure that we watch out for those that allowed us to have the opportunity to either attend this great university or to serve in Congress or to serve as president and CEO of a multinational company or be in a position of influence. I also wanted to share with you this morning that I think it's important that we have a great opportunity right now in this country to implement the common good at its highest levels. And I think that it's very, very important that we embody this concept. Serving in the 109th Congress is almost admitting that I'm a lobbyist or something. You know, when I first got to Washington, D.C. 4 years ago, you know, you would ask people what they do, and I represent people. What do you represent people? I'm a lobbyist. You know, I'm at the point now, I'm a member of the 109th Congress. And it was very interesting, and I'll just tell you this quick story before I go into a close and allow us to continue to move on in our discussion here today. It was this young lady that my wife and my son and daughter, we were having breakfast this past Saturday on Capitol Hill at one of the local diners, and so the lady came over, and a lady that represents the Seminole Tribe of Florida came over and said she was in town because they were opening a new exhibit over at the Native American Museum. And she said, "I lost my wallet. I would like to see if you could help me. Can I fly on the plane without my wallet? I mean, I know you're a member of the Homeland Security Committee." And I said, without my ID. I said, "Oh, sure, you can alert the airline, let them know that you don't have your ID, and they'll just give you a ticket." This is like information for everyone. Everyone's like listening. They'll give you a ticket, and you have to go through the full check. And so she said, "Oh, okay, fine." So she called the said airline, and the young lady on the phone said, "Oh, you can't fly without an ID. I mean, you need an ID. You have to have someone FedEx an ID to you. You have to get a duplicate, some sort of picture ID." And so she said, no. A good friend of mine, Congressman Kendrick Meek of the Home, no, she said, no, the, a good friend of mine of Congress, who's on the Homeland Security Committee, said that I can fly without my ID. And the lady on the phone said, "Well, you know how those congressmen lie all the time." She just told me this story yesterday because I called her about how did things go, and she said this lady over the phone, who she didn't know, she ended up getting on the plane, was able to fly back to South Florida. But I say that by saying when you look at leadership and you look at position the positions that whoever it may be, need it be you or someone that you do know, and their behavior and their philosophy as it relates to the common good does have an effect. For someone to be a telephone operator with an airline is to just put all members of Congress in one category, those that do not tell the truth, those that are unethical, and those that are on the front pages of need to be major papers throughout the country as being those that don't tell the truth, don't carry out the concepts of goodwill, corruption, cronyism. And I think that it's very, very important that we're in a real tug of war for our country right now. And I look forward not only to the panel that will be coming after me, coming up here, but also President Clinton's address and our continued discussion on this issue of the common good. And I look forward to heading in a new direction and making sure that this country feels not only good about its government, but also about its leadership. And I think that we have work to do, not only in the halls of Congress, but outside of the halls of Congress, and making sure that we embrace this and this philosophy and this feeling that we all have on behalf of the common good. And I'm excited about being a part of that process and what the Center for American Progress has done of bringing us together. And so many of my good friends are here, I don't even want to start calling names, to have this discussion, to leave here thoroughly immersed in how we can implement the common good, which is a natural feeling, I think, that nature gives us, our faith gives us, and the opportunity to lead that will give us. I was a state trooper once upon a time, and I said, if I ever had the opportunity to become a captain or a sergeant or a lieutenant, I would do things differently. I did have the opportunity to become a captain through appointment. And then when I was first elected 12 years ago to the state legislature, I said, you know, if I get an opportunity to be a chairman or a ranking member of a committee, these are the kinds of things that I would implement so that freshman members would hopefully have a better opportunity than what I've had. I've had the opportunity to do that. Had an opportunity to my wife and I just celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary. Have an opportunity to have children, these are the things that I want to do and I want to instill in them and how I have to carry myself and how things that I have to do to be a good father. And so I just wanted to share with all of you here today that I still have a lot of work to do as it relates to carrying out the common good, but I think that we all have a responsibility of taking this concept of the common good and see how we can implement it in our own lives, especially those of us that can make decisions on behalf of many. And I think that we will find that this conference was not in vain and that this whole concept of unearthing this concept that has been used before in the history of our country will help us move forward. Thank you so very much.